Thank you, ladies, for lovely music. As usual, wonderful. We have a lot of guests here this morning, and I'm going to give you a little rundown about who we are before I get started here in God's Word. But Praise Community Fellowship, we're going in our ninth year, and we are a little bit different in that no one here gets a salary. No one takes a salary here. None. Zero, not a nix. The offerings we collect, we give back into the community. We have various missions that we support. And this small church does a really big impact on the community and our missions. I mean, we're just, you know, we're blessed that we have people that contribute. So, we don't own property. It's me and the board decide we will, you know, never say never, but we rent this space from Emmanuel Methodist. We are what we would call unaffiliated. We don't really follow any denominational, rules or anything like that. And the reason, part of that is what I wanted to do this church is really kind of a big experiment, is because, you know, you go, I know you, the many of you here, your experience with church is you grew up as a Catholic or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran or whatever it was, whatever you grew up in. So you were kind of indoctrinated in the way what church was. The only thing is 42 years ago when I started studying this Bible and started questioning everything about religion and the church, I've learned so much, and you'll never find the word Catholic or Presbyterian or Baptist or Lutheran or Methodist. It's not in here. We're all children of God. So the way we approach this, we're all children of God coming together to learn from one another. And the other little thing I always like to do before I speak is say, look, I am seeking the truth like every one of you out there. The way we were brought up, a lot of times you'd say, well, the pastor, the minister, the priest, they're the ones, listen to them. They've got the direct line to God. They know what they're talking about, whatever. I'm going to tell you, from all my experiences, don't believe that. We don't know what we're talking about. My thing is listen, I'm going to give you my interpretation the best way I can what I think God is speaking to me here today. I will tell you, and I speak with members of my congregation a lot, is that my beliefs have changed because I keep learning. In other words, if you think you've got this all figured out, and there's some denominations that say it's this way, it's this way, it's this way. If you've got it all figured out, what that just tells me is you've stopped learning. You've taken what one person has said and said, this is it. And I don't believe that. I think I know that I've changed the way I've thought about some things because I keep studying, I keep reading, and I keep praying, and I keep asking. So religion is all about a relationship. And as you know, those of you that are married or you have friends, this is a relational world. It's all about relationship. And matter of fact, that's what we're going to talk about today. It's a relationship. God, this entire book is about God wanting to be in a relationship with you. A very personal relationship. And so religion has its place, but it really what it comes down to now that Jesus has visited the earth is that he wants you to be in a personal relationship with him. And the reason that we gather is because we can help one another with that relationship, lifting one another up. Now, I know that's not the way church has turned out to be. It's unfortunately, it's like you're sitting there and you're listening to me and that's church and you hear a song and you leave and then you get on with your life. In the old days, in the Jewish time, when Jesus walked the earth, what happened in the Jewish community is the people would gather around, they'd get out the Torah, the scrolls, and they would read one of the verses in the Bible, and then they would sit around and they would discuss it, and they would say, what's your take on that? What's your take on that? What's your experience with that? And that's how they learned, and that's how they grew within the grace of God, because God moves within us as the relationship changes. And I believe that your relationship with God, if it's growing, it will change who you are. You know, we've all met people. It was me. There was a time I went to church, and I was Man, I mean, I was messed up. Played in a band. I would show up to church, had been drinking the night before, hungover, playing my Christian songs. If you're here hungover, I'm not picking on you. Been there, done that. Listen, what I'm saying is we're all broken and we're all seeking. And so this is a great place to meet and seek. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do with this group is to say, listen, just be honest with one another. We all fail. We're all here to lift one another up. But there's something really special about what's happening in this book and why we're here today, because it's all about a special little baby. And speaking of a special little baby, little guy over here, can we get him out?
No.
Oh, okay. We have a little baby with us. It's not our grandbaby yet, because can't get out yet. Hadn't had all the shots. Heaven forbid. But little guy, we're glad you're here. Is this your first church experience? I'm going to try to make it not painful.
Mm-hmm. He's enjoying himself.
He's enjoying himself. Good.
He's listening.
All right. That's awesome. So welcome, guy. So, yeah, I think church should be relaxed. It should be a place where people come together and say, what about this? What about this? You know, no one, well, I should never say no one. That's an absolute. Nobody that I've ever met has the absolute truth. Now, I've met plenty of people who think they have the absolute truth, but I think they're kidding themselves. That's my opinion. I want to start today with the Word of God, and then we're going to take a little journey. I have some stories for you that I hope you enjoy. If not, just act like you do. It's Christmas. Be nice. So I'm going to read from the book of John. Very familiar words for those of you that have read through this a few times. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. I'm going to bounce over a couple paragraphs. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And I want to go to one other place. I'm going to go back to the book of 1 John, which is in the back of the Bible. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as the Gospels in the back. There's another letter that John wrote. And in this letter he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have touched and handled, concerning the Word of life. In other words, talking about Jesus. The life was manifested, and we have seen, and we bear witness to this fact, and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. And that's what I want to talk about. It's about a relationship. God sends us a child to be in a relationship with. And relationships, as you know, aren't easy. And it's true. It's the same with the relationship with Jesus. It's not always easy. Sometimes it's very hard. The thing that I know that I think you can all experience is one of the problems we have with the Christmas story is that we become too familiar with things like the Christmas story. All the angels, the shepherds, the wise men that came and visited Jesus, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh. And then the other thing that happens is that we combine that message from the Bible with the things of this world. The Santa Claus and the Christmas trees and the elves and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all that. Which is okay. But what happens is it becomes so familiar that we lose the glory and the joy of what this is about, because we kind of already know the story. And so what I want to tell you is that God, way in the beginning, He said man and woman should come together and they shall bond to one another. Two shall become one. That's why they leave their mother and father, to come together. And He gave us this thing called marriage. And marriage is supposed to be one of the most sacred relationships that we have in this world. And we know the disasters with marriage. And the reason is relationships are tough. But something happens to us. And it's about this familiarity. It's about when we get too comfortable. We think we know the person. Been with them for years, pain in the butt, I know everything about them. Yes, there are things that you know, the habits, the things that we get stuck in. We know what this person's going to like, and we get bored. And that's what happens to us in the Bible and the stories of Jesus. We get bored. I already know that story. I don't need to go there. So I came up with an amazing piece of profound literature in the most unlikely place about this very thing. Rupert Holmes wrote this amazing literature. It's called the Pina Colada Song. I'm going to read the words to this to you before I get into the Bible story. Rupert has no idea the profound effect he had on a preacher saying, how am I going to talk about God with what's broken? Here it is. I don't have the little beat going behind me, but that's probably a good thing. I was tired of my lady. I'm going to say wife. We'd been together too long, like a worn-out recording of a favorite song. So while she lay there sleeping, I read the paper in bed. And in the personals column, there was this letter I read. If you like pina coladas and getting caught in the rain, if you're not into yoga, if you have half a brain, if you like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, I'm the love that you've looked for. Write to me and escape. I didn't think about my lady. I know that sounds kind of mean. But me and my old lady, my wife, had fallen into the same old dull routine. So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Yes, I like pina coladas. I love getting caught in the rain. I'm not much into health food, but I am into champagne. I've got to meet you by tomorrow noon and cut through all this red tape at a bar called O'Malley's where we'll plan our escape. So I waited with high hopes. Then she walked in the place. I knew her smile in an instant. I knew the curve of her face. It was my own lovely lady. And she said, oh, it's you. And we laughed for a moment, and I said, I never knew that you liked pina coladas and getting caught in the rain and the feel of the ocean and the taste of champagne. If you like making love at midnight in the dunes of the Cape, you're the love that I've looked for. Come with me and escape. It's an amazing song, and literally, it's about relationships. This whole Christian thing is about relationships. We get broken in our relationship here, and we're broken with our relationship with God, and that's why God never gave up on us. What we think we know, but we really don't know, we've been stuck in religion. And so one thing I want you to do today before you leave is I'm hoping you don't leave with just, well, it was a religious experience. No, I want you to know the living God. I want you to renew. Today's about renewal. Renew the relationships that God has put in your life. And let it become a blessing. Now, I have a few other stories I'd like to share with you. This is going to be a roundabout way, but it's all about the Christmas story. So now we go to a Russian cosmonaut. That's where I'm going to take you now. And the year was 1961. There was a Russian cosmonaut, true story, named Yuri Gagarin. Anybody heard of him? Yuri Gagarin. He was the first guy that orbited the Earth. And you have to understand, so back then there was this guy named Khrushchev, Nikita Khrushchev, who was whatever, the president of the Soviet Union. Soviet Union had declared themselves an atheist country. And they were proud of it. So they send this Yuri up into space, and he goes around the globe successfully and lands successfully, lives through it. And Nikita, one of the things at a press conference said, you know, we are an atheist nation, and now I know for sure there is no God, just like we've been telling people. We went into outer space. He wasn't there. Is no God. We're right. So, you know, to calm his people, because there were people in Russia that wanted to be Christian, but it was illegal. So that was the declaration. Can't be a God. We went up, we went into the heavens. No God was there. So at that same time in the early 60s, there was this famous writer you've probably heard of, C.S. Lewis. And he responded to that newscast. And he wrote this little story about that. And he said that the problem with Khrushchev is he doesn't understand how to relate with God. Khrushchev is trying to relate like with God like he lives on the Khrushchev lives on the first floor of an apartment building and God would live on the second. So Khrushchev sends somebody up to the second floor, knocks on the door of the apartment above him, no one answers. So Khrushchev assumes no one lives there. And C.S. Lewis said, no, 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 you got it all wrong. That's not how you can relate to God. The only way you can relate to God, he said, it's more like this. He said, it's more like Shakespeare and Hamlet. Shakespeare wrote the great play of Hamlet, all the characters, the entire story. And he said, the only way that Hamlet or any of the characters in that story could know who Shakespeare is if Shakespeare would have written himself into the story. That's the only way, because the creator of the creation is in a different dimension than the creation. There was another great writer to continue down this path, and her name was Dorothy Sayers, an English writer. And she, back in the early 40s and 50s, she came out with this a big series of these mystery murder novels, where and she became very popular. And the hero in her book, his name was Lord Peter Wimsey, where he went around as this detective and tried to solve these murder cases within these books. So a series of these books had come out, six or seven books, and all of a sudden, within the book, people noticed that a new character showed up. And what this Dorothy Sayers had done is she had put this plain-looking, ordinary single woman who was very intelligent, who happened to go to Oxford, who happened to be the writer of mystery novels, joined into this story and became a partner with this leader of these books, this Lord Peter Wimsey. And so what happens is she wrote herself, because if you look at the history of this Dorothy Sayers, she went to Oxford. She's the writer of these novels. She had fallen in love with the character that she had created in these books, and now she wrote herself in there because she saw that he was lonely, so she falls in love with him within this novel, and they get married and live happily ever after, solving murder mysteries together. She had written herself into the story. Because the creator and the creation are in two separate places. They're in different dimensions. There's no way the creation can know the creator without the creator putting himself within the story. And that's what Jesus has done, or God has done, when he sent his son Jesus Christ. He wanted to write himself into our story, to come into our brokenness, to love us. We have a guest with us today who happens to be a doctor, Dr. Mary Berry. See what happens when you show up? I can't help it. All the way from Pasadena, California. Man, the news of this service is really getting out there. She called me and texted me and said, you know, you guys having service? Yeah, she says, well, I'm flying in. We're coming in. So we're glad you guys are here. Richard, those of you that come from Eden, you remember him. He sang in all the choirs, great piano player, sang in the how many different choirs? All of them, I guess. So we go back a long ways. But imagine this: you're not feeling well. You're run down, running a low grade fever, coughing all the time, no energy. Start going to doctor. Go to your doctor, and they said, we've run the test. Nothing seems that much out of order here. Try this. Take this. So you're taking whatever the medicine they gave you, but you're still feeling bad. So you go to another doctor. Same thing. It goes on and on. You see about six doctors, and everybody's telling you, look, you're okay. I don't know what's wrong, but there's nothing really wrong with you. And you know inside, like, man, there's something not right. They're missing. I don't know what it is. I'm missing something because I know I don't feel right. So anyway, a friend of yours says, hey, go see this particular doctor. So you go see this doctor, and this doctor runs a large amount of tests. A couple weeks later, you get a call from her, and she says, notice I said she. This is the hero doctor. And she says, listen, need you to come in and see me. Okay, we've kind of figured this thing out that you have. And here's what we have to do. It's pretty serious. You're going to need a pretty invasive, complicated treatment. It's not easy. But if you don't take this treatment, this illness is going to lead to your death. I mean, this is serious. So now, wait a minute. I've been to 6 or 7 doctors, all trained. And they've all told me I'm going to be fine. There's really nothing wrong with me. Yet, I'm still feeling sick all the time. And now I've got this one doctor that says, I've got to go through some pretty serious treatment to get well. What do you do? It's a dilemma. Do you say, well, I'm going to go with the majority doctors. I mean, I'm not that sick. Or do you believe the doctor that says, listen, if you don't go through what I'm telling you, you need to go through, and it's not going to be easy, it's not going to be simple, it's not going to be pleasant, but if you don't, you're going to die. It's a huge dilemma. What do you do? Because what if that last doctor is right? What if they're right? So I would imagine if it were me in that spot, I would want to research. I would want to dig in and find out, okay, let me see the test results. I would want to get involved and look and find out, is what this person really telling me, is it really true? Or should I believe what the world has been telling me? That you don't need God. You don't need to be part of a church. You don't need to be religious. You don't need any of that. Your life is going to be fine, and yet you know inside there's brokenness in your heart. There's sorrow in your heart. There's nothing that's adding up to making you complete and whole. So I've been to these churches, I've done all that. And now finally somebody's telling you, look, you've got some serious problems. And it's going to cost you to fix them. And that's what Jesus is asking each and every one of us. Look, I've come here. I'm doing all the hard work. What I need you to do is to believe in me, walk with me, put my heart into your heart so that you understand that the real reason you're here and the problem that you're facing is that you are a selfish person. You're living for you. And when you come to be a part of Jesus Christ and the reason He came as a suffering servant. Your life will change. The glory of God that the girl sang about, the joy, the peace, the warmth, the love, everything changes when you realize that it's not about you. You want to follow Jesus. It's not about coming to a church. It's about becoming the suffering servant. And I don't even want to use the word suffering because here's what I found. The more you say yes to God and step outside of what you think you need to be happy, the more peace, the more joy, the more love you're going to have in your life, and your life is going to change. But it's a radical change. I've said this many times, you can't follow Jesus and stay where you're at the same time. It requires a different path. And that is the hard part. But if what Jesus is telling us in the Bible is true, it's worth everything. We're talking about eternal life and good life here. Blessings here. And then someday when our heart stops beating, it's not the end. It's like walking through a door and you walk into this place that Jesus called paradise. And you continue to live on another plane and another level until He returns here, and then we're all restored here on this earth. That's what this book says. Nothing about religion. It's not about any of that. It's about knowing and having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave everything so that you can have a taste of what His kingdom is going to be. We are to come to serve. God has blessed all of us in different ways. He's given some the gift of music. He's given some the ability to administrate. He's given some the ability to give. He's given some the ability to tell stories. The key is, allowing the love of Jesus Christ to lead you into what your servanthood will be. Because the more you serve, it's like I told you a couple weeks ago. We live in an upside down kingdom for God. God's kingdom is just the opposite of the world. It's just the opposite of what all the other doctors have said. No, that's not how you get better. This is how you get better. You will feel better if you do this. But it's the exact opposite of what the world is telling us. He wants us to be servanthood. He wants us to give. Give to receive. He wants those who are exalted to be, they will be humbled. And the humble will be exalted. Everything's just the opposite. Love your enemy. Do what's good with them. Pray for them. When it's hard. And let me tell you, it's hard. Especially this time of year. Bonnie and I were talking today. I mean, you can get worn out this time of year. There's just too much going on. But if we understood what that message of Jesus coming into this earth really meant, we would be meeting 3 times a week. And with joy. Because this should be the place where we're lifting one another. I look forward to church. I always do. I always pray, God, please speak through me. Because I don't have anything worthwhile telling you. I have nothing. Zero, not a nix. You ask Richard, he can tell you what a real turd head I was back in the day. And I was. Because I didn't get it yet. And listen, it takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime of walking and trying and learning and experimenting. And God, do you really mean this? That's what it takes. That's really what this is all about. So today, what we're going to do, we're going to have communion here together. And this place here, Praise Community Fellowship, listen. You have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't care if you're Catholic, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Baptist. God doesn't care. He wants all of you to come to this table of grace. And this table of grace is so vitally important because it is simply a memory. It's a tradition we do because Christ did this at the Last Supper. Before He went back into His kingdom where the story is being written by the God of the universe. But He wants us to remember that, listen, He didn't leave us alone. He's given us the Holy Spirit. The temple of God is now here within us. It's not this, even this old beautiful church, but it's not this. This is not the holy space. This is the holy space. And He wants you to know that and have that in your heart. Amen. Darlene, would you come up and help me with serving? And what we're going to do, we're going to have this half of the room come down this side. You can either take, it's grape juice, you can take the grape juice there, or you can take a piece of bread and dip it in the grape juice, either way you like it. But after we get done with this communion, I'm going to ask all of you, before we leave today, are you ready to recommit your lives to what this baby really is? Not religion, but commit to lasting, loving relationships. So at this time, we will come forward. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke the bread. And He said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat." And then He took the cup and He took the cup of wine and He poured it out. And He said, "This is my blood poured out for the remission of all your sins." From here on out, there is a new way to worship. There is a new beginning for you. A new relationship with God, God the Almighty. It's through my sacrifice here on this earth. Because I'm going to pay for your sins so that you can be in complete close relationship with God the Father who is perfect. And because of the sacrifice I make, you too will be perfect. So come, for all things are now ready. It's all about the relationship. Before the girls finish with their last number, I'm just going to ask, while they're singing this last song, if anyone here would like to recommit, not only to the Lord Jesus Christ, recommit, just allowing the love of God to come into your life, I invite you to come forward and we'll have prayer while the girls are singing. Now's the time to say, yes, I'm ready. I'm ready to go with a doctor that says they can cure me, that I can feel better. I need this inside. I'm willing to commit and make this commitment. Don't leave without stepping out into the grace of God and let the Holy Spirit rule your life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.